You're listening to 90.5 WKAR. We often talk about the health of the Great Lakes on Current State, and one very direct indicator of how the lakes are doing is, how's the fishing? About a decade ago, the answer in Lake Huron was not so good because of a steep decline in fish numbers during that time. WKAR's Melissa Benmark joins us now with a look at the lake.
Hi, Mark. I talked with David Fielder. He's a fisheries research biologist for the DNR and a doctoral student at MSU, and he perhaps gets the award for coolest office location. He cannot see Thunder Bay from his office, but he told me during our interview that if he looked around the corner of the door, he could actually look out on the river emptying up into Thunder Bay.
Nice.
So it's pretty gorgeous up there. I caught up with him up there in his office and asked him what happened to Lake Huron 10 years ago and why it happened.
The profound shift in the fish community that happened in that time period that you're speaking of, 2003-2004, really traced to some ecological changes that we believe began with the invasion of zebra mussels and then after them quagga mussels. And what they did is to really restructure some of the lower food web that limited the availability of a lot of traditional invertebrate prey to our prey fish community. Simultaneous to that, we had a higher predator abundance than what we realized at the time, and so we had a lot of predator fish consuming the prey fish. So the prey fish community was being squeezed on both ends, if you will, kind of a bottom-up and a top-down effect. And to this day, there's a lot of debate as to which one of those influences most accounted for the change in the prey fish community. When I'm speaking of the prey fish community, I'm mostly talking about alewives, but rainbow smelt and other species contracted and diminished in number in response to all these changes. It really kind of came to a head there in the early 2000s. So pretty much overnight, alewives disappeared from most of Lake Huron, which is something few of us thought we'd ever see. Alewives are not native. They're an invasive species that came here from the Atlantic Ocean.
And they were introduced, weren't they?
Well, they weren't purposefully introduced. They came in through the canal system that bypassed Niagara Falls, the Whelan Canal, and they came in to Lake Huron about the early 1900s. They really became abundant about 1940s and 50s. And what happened was a lot of our native prey fish disappeared in response to the colonization by alewives. So our predator community became dependent on alewives as their main food resource. The Chinook salmon fed on them almost exclusively, but so did lake trout, walleye, a lot of our other predator species, all depended on alewives. So when alewives disappeared, the very first thing that we saw was Chinook salmon that we had out there became very thin, very gaunt, and their growth declined, and their survival diminished, and they basically just disappeared. They aren't flexible enough to go down and feed on the bottom for things like round gobies, or maybe up on the surface for terrestrial insects. Fortunately, some of our native predators are able to adapt better.
And, a little more enterprising.
And they are. And lake trout can do that, for example, and have been doing very well now in spite of the disappearance of alewives. And so have walleyes, for that matter. So maybe the most obvious impact for anglers has been the loss of most of the Chinook salmon fishery that we were accustomed to. But for our native fish species like walleye and lake trout, it's really been kind of a boon in that they are both reproducing much better in the absence of alewives.
That's interesting. So that it's like you get an invasive in there and everything wants to eat that, but then they die, but then the things that are more flexible and eat other things do better.
In a nutshell, that's what's going on. Now, there are some non-natives that are also able to adapt better to this situation. That includes steelhead. A lot of people forget the steelhead or rainbow trout. Not native to our lakes, but they've been here for so long, they're kind of a naturalized species.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing pretty well. They are one of the species that can go up and feed on the surface for, say, terrestrial insects that are windblown out to the lake, for example. Atlantic salmon are also showing a lot of promise in their ability to adapt to this new food web. So we have stepped up some of our Atlantic salmon stocking in an effort to see if we can maximize their role in the, you know, for fishing opportunity for the angling public.
That's one thing I wondered about was that with, you know, the economy and various government cutbacks, how that had affected fish stocking, because I can imagine that, you know, there might not be as much money for it as there once was.
Well, everything we do in the DNR and the fisheries division, of course, traces back to funding at some point or another. Our fish hatchery system, though, is well developed and an important part of our fisheries division activities, such that their role is really more a function of our stocking needs. It's programmed out by management and research. It doesn't ebb and flow as much with available funding. So we've done our best to make sure that those facilities are staffed and functioning to meet the fish stocking needs of the state.
Most of our listeners are familiar with, you know, sort of the usual suspects in terms of Great Lakes invasive species, lampreys, zebra mussels, quagga mussels, that kind of thing. And, of course, the Asian carp. But are there any new ones that you're seeing that are emerging, that, especially that might be unique to Lake Huron, that you're concerned about?
Well, it's not unique to Lake Huron, but the round goby has been here for a relatively short amount of time. It was in the 1990s that they first started to become abundant, and we're still trying to understand their role in this whole fish community and the food web. Some of our more recent research has illustrated that they have become a very, very important prey fish or dietary item for a lot of our fish species and predators in Lake Huron, and probably the same to some degree in the other Great Lakes, that in the absence of alewives, that's one of the most abundant prey fishes out there. So when we think about Lake Huron and what went on in the early 2000s, it's easy to cast that as a decline in fish and a collapse of fish. Really is more of a shift than it was a collapse or a decline, because the amount of biomass out there in round gobies is probably very substantial and might rival what the biomass was for some of our pelagic prey fish before that shift. And so everything's kind of down on the bottom now. Gobies are a bottom-oriented fish, and that's really directing a lot of the production down to the benthic zone of the lake and the nearshore area. And that's why those predators that can go down there and take advantage of that and adapt to it are doing okay. And the others that just can't make that adaptation are really in trouble.
So basically the fish are having to dig deeper for food.
Right. And some species are better at that than others.
So do you have a general sense of the state of both commercial and sport fishing on Lake Huron these days?
Sport fishing, overall, the amount of effort that has been exerted by the sport fishery in the Michigan waters has declined with the contraction and diminishment of the Chinook salmon population, as you would expect, for the reasons I described. Chinook salmon were really the most popular sport fishery that we had. And when those numbers declined, you know, fishermen just quit fishing for them, or they would go over to Lake Michigan where Chinook were still abundant. But we have had some real increases and resurgence in certain native species like walleye. Walleye now in recent years have fully recovered in Saginaw Bay. It's been an enormous success story, something that we didn't think we'd see for many decades to come, let alone in such a short time span. And that's credited to the absence of alewives. Alewives are a predator on newly hatched walleye fry. So in the absence of alewives, walleye were reproducing much better and reached our recovery targets in 2006. So we are enjoying some of the best walleye fishing we've ever had on Lake Huron, and arguably some of the best in the Great Lakes right now. So if there's those kinds of opportunities. Lake trout, similarly, are doing much better in the absence of alewives, reproducing better. We're seeing gains there in numbers. So there's some excellent lake trout fishing taking place. Those species have not fully been able to replace the loss of the Chinook fishery, but it would be very wrong to say that there isn't good fishing opportunity on Lake Huron. If you like those species, there's just tremendous opportunity right now. That means both nearshore fishing opportunity and offshore for things like lake trout. And there's still some Chinook out there, too. We see them in the catch all the time. They just aren't the numbers that were there at one time. And then you throw in some Atlantic salmon or some steelhead, and you can have a very diverse and satisfying fishing trip out of a lot of our ports up and down the coast. So that's our sport fishery situation. The commercial fishery in Lake Huron targets a variety of species, but really lake whitefish is the centerpiece of that. And the numbers have trended differently depending on what part of the lake that you're looking at. We've had some concerns about lake whitefish reproduction in recent years. We haven't seen as many young fish coming up. We're not sure of what the long-term status of lake whitefish are going to be, but for the most part, the fisheries are holding up, especially down around the outer Saginaw Bay ports there are doing pretty well. And then there, of course, is the tribal fishery for lake whitefish in northern Lake Huron, and by all accounts, that's doing pretty well also.
I think one thing that maybe the average fish eater doesn't realize is the average age of a whitefish on your plate. It's older than people think, isn't it?
Yeah, they're one of the longer-lived species. It's not unusual to have even a 20-year-old lake whitefish. And their growth will slow down such that they can, as they age, they're not going to always get bigger and bigger. But they're a very long-lived species, as is lake trout.
Well, David Fielder, thanks so much for joining us and catching us up on the state of Lake Huron.
Well, thank you for having me, and I hope people get out and try some fishing for themselves.
For Current State, I'm Melissa Benmark.